Our story starts this morning on the very last night that Jesus was with his disciples. He'll soon be arrested, crucified, and buried. He knows that he needs to say something to them that will carry them from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. And we find his words in John 14:27. If you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me. I'm reading from the NIV version. It says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He says, "My peace I give you." Well, at first glance, that seems like a really odd choice of words considering what is happening. Jesus has just told them that he's going to be leaving them, and the situation is hostile. It is full of conflict. I mean, after all, during his whole life, Jesus has not really been a picture of peace himself. You think about it, when he was just 12 years old, he was arguing with his elders at the temple. When he reemerges in the public eye, it's one disruption and dispute after another. He's healing people and he's raising people from the dead. But beyond that, he's also raising questions about the religious order, the social order of the day. The people in power are spending a lot of time and energy coming up with questions designed to trap Jesus. And he always has an answer. He doesn't allow himself to be trapped. And people in power, well, they tend not to like when that happens. And Jesus is living during a place, a period of time in history when peace was only maintained by brutal repression of anyone who stood up to the authorities. Think of it this way. Jesus was on their watch list, and he had been for a while. He was drawing crowds, and his teachings could be interpreted by people who were suspicious of him as rebellion, that he was trying to incite riots. He was a marked man by the establishment. And that night, he starts talking about peace. And he's talking to his disciples. And you think about this. At that point, Judas had already left to betray him. We know what's going to happen next. He knew what was going to happen next on the cross. There was nothing peaceful about that. It was violent and it was brutal. No rational person would think that peace had anything to do with this situation. And yet, what does Jesus say? He says, "My peace I give to you." Well, what is that even supposed to mean? We have to remember that Jesus would have been speaking in Aramaic. The scripture was written in Greek, and the Greek word that was used here for give is a judicial term. It was used in the court system, and it was often used not when someone was giving just a gift, I give you something, but it was used in the sense of when someone left a last will and testament. I bequeath you this. I leave this to you as your inheritance. So what Jesus is saying here when he's talking about peace, it isn't a gentle way of, oh, I give you this. It's, I leave it to you. This is your inheritance. This is my last will and testament, and I bequeath this to you. And so what is it that he's leaving to us? What is it that we as the children of God that we inherit? Well, we tend to think of peace as the absence of conflict, right? What's the answer in the pageant that you're supposed to say? What do you want? You want world peace, right? And we think of it as living in a world that's safe, that's free of war, that's free of any type of strife. But the truth is this, there have been very little periods of time in human history when that has ever even happened. We still bicker around the dinner table. We still find enemies at school or work. And I mean, that's just a small scale of the type of human suffering that goes on around the world. But we have to remember that Jesus lived in a world of conflict too. He lived in a time when one race hated another race, when one nation hated other nations, and people of one religion hated other religions. Human nature has not changed that much. And to the disciples at that time, the whole world would have seemed to be falling apart. And it's about to just get even more violent. And Jesus doesn't promise to prevent any of the chaos that's coming. Instead, he promises to be with them as they walk through the chaos. He's not going to prevent it, but he's going to be in it. And that was the peace that Jesus left to them and that he still leaves to us, that he wills to us. Now, the Hebrew word for peace is the word shalom. And it doesn't mean peace in the way that we in American English think of peace. What it means is this, it's health and well-being and wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. It's completeness. And it's not dependent on your circumstances. It doesn't mean that you live in a place where there's no crime or there's no war. Because you see, earthly peace is always temporary. Neighbors are going to argue about noise, and couples are going to argue about finances, and children are going to argue about who gets the last cookie. Nations argue about borders. Humans argue about everything. But the Bible tells us this in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We've studied this before in our study of the Beatitudes. And we wonder what it is that Jesus was leaving with us. Well, the peace is a peace between us and God. We have been reconciled with our Maker. We've been reconciled with our Creator. We have a peace, no matter what circumstance we're in, that we are right with God. And then in turn, we are to be peacemakers in this world and pour out the peace that we have received. I like the Message version of the same scripture. It says it this way: you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. And so what did Jesus mean by being a peacemaker? Well, a working definition of a peacemaker is someone who is actively trying to reconcile people to God and to each other. Now, notice that Jesus doesn't say here, blessed are the peace wishers or the peace hopers or the peace dreamers or the peace lovers or the peace talkers. Peace must be made. It's a choice. It's a decision. And he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And so sometimes when we read the words of Jesus, we really try to tone it down and we say, oh, blessed are the peacemakers. And we smile and we shake our heads and we say, oh, that's really nice, peace. But the truth is peacemaking is not nice at all. Peacemaking is messy, difficult work, and it takes time, and it takes a lot of emotional energy. And the first thing we need to remember is this: in this life, you will be sinned against. You can't get around it. Someone will sin against you. And when that happens, we are to respond in a way that does not come naturally to us as humans. And peacemaking, it is not the absence of conflict. God doesn't promise the conflict won't happen. But it also doesn't mean that we're passive. The person who just glosses over problems or acts like nothing is wrong and everything is all right when it's not, that's not a peacemaker. But also, you can't run from conflict. You can't just remove yourselves from it. And some people try to do that too. They change jobs, they change schools, they change churches, they change friends. And time again, when conflict comes up, they think, I'm just going to take myself out of this. And the problem is that wherever you go, conflict is there, sin is there. Is there a place on this earth without it? You won't find a job, a church, a person who will not at some times disappoint you. And a peacemaker is someone who has accepted the gift of God's peace. He offers it as our inheritance. They have accepted it. They know that his peace is in them. And they say, you know what? I'm going to return that peace into this world. And I am not going to sow seeds of disunity. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live in peace. And so, what does that look like in real life? Well, for the students here today, maybe you're at school and maybe someone is trying to talk about someone else. Maybe they're trying to badmouth someone else and they're saying, you know what, you're not going to believe what so-and-so did. Well, a peacemaker's reply is this: I don't think we should be talking about this. If you have a problem with them, I think you need to have a conversation with them. That's what the Bible tells us to do. That's a peacemaker. A peacemaker will risk conflict for the sake of peace. A peacemaker will say, go and work it out. Don't talk about them. Go talk to them. And when everyone else is venting, a peacemaker is the one who brings up the person's good qualities. When everyone else is attacking, the peacemaker is the one who says, you know, I know, but have you noticed this good thing about him? Have you seen this good thing about her? In a conversation where people get negative, where there's conflict, where there's strife, where people are trying to put someone else down, everyone can start to feel pretty self-righteous. Momentum can build, anger can build, and then all of a sudden, someone says, well, have you talked to that person about it? And it exposes part of the problem. Peacemakers reconcile people to each other and to God, and things can get awkward, incredibly awkward, when someone has the strength to bring up peace and to bring up God when everyone else just wants to point out other people's weaknesses. And so I want you to think about it this way. What's the opposite of a peacemaker? A troublemaker. And so you have a choice. You can either be a peacemaker and you can live by God's standard, or you can be a troublemaker and live by the world's standard. There is no in between. And people who are mean-spirited and stirring up strife and creating conflict, well, the good news is this: you can always change. The gospel says that troublemakers can become peacemakers. It's shown time and time again in scriptures. You have to be motivated, though, by love, real divine love. And you have to acknowledge that you have received an inheritance of grace and love and peace from God, and you have a responsibility to pay that forward. And it's not always comfortable, but you know what? It's not always about us either. We should always be seeking restoration in relationship, restoring people to God and restoring people to each other, because peacemaking is divine work. And God, He's a good Father, and He's the author of peace. He's the supreme peacemaker. And so when we read that scripture this morning, when we go back to that very first verse, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. How can we claim that this morning? Well, first we have to ask ourselves a few questions. First of all, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with others? You ask those questions of yourself, and then you reconcile wherever it is you need to reconcile. Is it with God? Is it with yourself? Is it with others? You work toward restoration and reconciliation, and you be a maker of peace. Because Jesus came to establish peace, and His teachings, they explained peace, and His death on the cross, it purchased peace, and His resurrected presence enables peace. And in this scripture, His last will and testament, He left His peace with us. What are we going to do with it? Let's pray together. God, we just thank You. We thank You for reminding us that peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of God. We thank You for bringing peace in a world that sometimes can just be messy. There could be so much hate and violence and distrust. We thank You that in the midst of that, we can be at peace with You, our Maker. And God, we ask you to help us be peacemakers with each other. Help us to reconcile with each other. And God, we know that You're a good Father. We know that You've given us this peace. Help us to be worthy of that gift. It's the name of Your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. as you go into this week, I want you to ask yourself those questions. Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with yourself? And are you at peace with others? And if you answer any of those questions no, then the next question is, why not? And what can you do about it? And so I say to you this, go in peace this week. Shalom.